Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
The hell with these today.
I know, throw those stars off.
Beautiful and amazing guest in yes. studio today. But in honor of our previous guest, we always do a little bit of banter, so everybody's just going to look at you and see how gorgeous you are.
Oh, my God.
And be wondering who you are while we just do a little bit of our
Please,
banter.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. So, well, first of all, do you know what happened to me yesterday? I had a gas leak in my house.
I thought you were going to say you exploded with gas internally. That would be amazing, right?
That would not be uncommon for me.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, I came in the house and the carbon monoxide alarm was going off.
What?
And I was terrified. No. I was like, oh, my gosh. First thing I did was check on my dog. He was fine, thank God. And then, like, at first, you know, you can't tell what it is. I thought it was, like, the smoke detector at first. And I was like, right. Oh, maybe it needs batteries. But then I was, like, smelling stuff. And then I was getting a really bad headache. And I knew something was going on. So I called Southern California Gas.
Gas, right.
I just want to say a shout out. They were there within, like, 15 minutes.
Nice.
It was great. And, yeah, she's like, ooh, these levels are really high.
Oh,
and
my
I was
gosh.
Like, I know. It terrified me. Ends up our water heater... something, I don't know. This is like Greek to me, but all I know is that they
what happens then if you like somebody lit a match in the house? Would it?
Great question. Thank God that didn't happen. I don't know what to tell you because it smelled really bad. Like it was really bad.
So the boys were at school.
The boys were at camp. Yeah. No one was
camp,
home.
Right.
And I mean, it was only, thank God it was only within a couple hours because I had gone to lunch and then I came back and it was blaring. So
That's
we slept
scary.
In a hotel last night.
Oh my goodness.
My kids were happy as can be. I chose a place that had a pool. They're like, we have a gas leak every day.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, maybe the house isn't safe. Maybe we need to stay here one more day. Want to leave.
Did you stay local?
I stayed in Burbank, yeah. Oh. I chose a place. Like, literally, I was like, all right, what are the best thing for my kids? A pool.
And you took Moose.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the hamsters.
Of course. Oh,
Remy wanted to bring the fish. I'm like, the fish will be fine.
They don't breathe out of the air.
So it was fine. But yeah, that's my craziness.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always my worst nightmare, gas and then lighting a house on fire. That's why I always check the stove.
Oh, that's
right. That's my worst fear.
Oh,
yes,
no.
I swear in another life I probably did light a house on fire. And the house I live in was lit on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember you
in
telling
the
me
early
that.
90s. Yes, and then
that's
it was
so weird.
Rebuilt.
That's weird.
Lady fell asleep with a cigarette in bed.
Ooh.
Terrible. Terrible. Mm. All right, so you have a story. I broke my toe.
Yeah, exactly. So you hurt your back and then your toe.
Yes.
Jesus. Oh,
what
my
is,
God.
Well, our guest today is probably going to fill us in. There's probably something
in the air.
In the
air.
There's always something in the air.
Anyway, so last week we had... oh, dear. Who did we have?
Just realized. I'm like, I don't think I wrote it down. My God, what was last week? I can't even think. I'm smelling fumes.
I can't think either.
My God.
Oh, dear.
I can look at my calendar.
Wait a second. This is just so bad on our part.
I know.
Okay. It'll be right here.
It's totally my fault. I'm taking full responsibility for this horrible... it's not even on our calendar.
You're serious?
Yes. Wait, because it was June 26th.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It'll come back to me during the show.
Why wouldn't it be on our calendar?
For some reason, that week wasn't on there. I don't know why.
Oh, dear. Well, I this guest is.
We'll talk.
Wait a minute. The world's health is secrets. Eight secrets of the world's healthiest people. He was a fantastic guest. Bowen.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Stephen Bowen. Oh,
Stephen
thank
Bowen.
God
he
for
was
you.
Fabulous.
One of us has the brains in this one. Yes, he was a lovely guest. He really was. Talked
so
about
smart.
So smart.
So fun.
Yeah, talked about basically how to be healthier, but he was so humble and like sweet, and you know he's like, you know, putting spinach and like kale in like smoothies every day, but he was like so humble
probably
about it.
Secretly eating chocolate chip cookies.
Probably. I would hope so.
Yes.
Make us normal.
I always brought you chocolate chip cookies that I made with dark chocolate.
And the reason you didn't? Yeah.
Because I thought you were going to think they're too sweet.
I'm not cookie. Cookies, flourless cake, chocolate cake, and brownies I could totally go to town with.
Sugar up the kazoo. Sweet. Good.
Oh, really?
All right, I'll bring some for you next time.
Okay, cool. I feel so bad. If I could like make you something like I so would to show you my love, I can bake. I'm going to bake you something.
Do you know what you make me? your beautiful smile every time I see you.
You're so cute. I am going to make you food, though, like, because I feel like I owe it to you, and you might think it's disgusting, but you know it's I'll coming from it. My... So, all right.
Well, did you enjoy your book launching party? Wait.
Oh, yeah, you're so
Everybody
cute.
Must see.
You're so sweet.
Kelly's book.
Oh, yeah. So, thank you so much for coming. Like, that was so sweet, and I had the best time. Yay. I told you, I had, like, a tequila. I don't drink, really, ever. And I had one tequila shot, and I was, like, kind of nervous before the party and hadn't eaten that much. I feel like I was out to lunch. Like, I don't even know, like, what was going on. One
you
shot.
You looked like you were having a blast, though.
I was. It was super fun. But I was definitely, like, kind of out of it. And I was like, oh, God, I hope I didn't,
when you
like...
have that many people, though, too, and you feel some obligation to talk to everybody and, you know, say hello, that nobody feels bad, and you're introducing people, it's hard. Yeah. It's a blur.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a blur.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm too excited. Now we have to introduce our guest.
She puts on the glasses.
Well, because hello, Kelly thinks that I can read this, right?
I don't even know if I could read this.
No. Okay. Okay. So in studio today, we have Wendy Kawasaki, who's a certified Ayurveda practitioner, a Reiki master teacher, and a registered nurse. You're a nurse.
Oh, you didn't know that?
That's amazing.
That's exciting. All of it's exciting. Yeah. With 11 years experience in emergency medicine and labor and delivery. Wow. She gratefully offers a full scope of practice to her clients and students, a truly holistic and integrative form of healthcare. Her mission is to facilitate, complete, and lasting healing at all levels of the body, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. One does not have true health until all aspects of health are in balance. Wendy's formal education includes 2 Bachelor of Sciences from Universities of Vermont and Nevada, Ayurveda Health Practitioners Program through New World Ayurveda, and Paul Douglas, MD, Spiritual Counseling and Reiki Certification from Berlin
McGilvery,
and Paul Douglas, continued Ayurvedic education through Maharishi Ayurveda and Kumura Reddy, MD, and Astrological Sciences Education through Sarah and David Hawthorne. Welcome!
Thank you.
And you're going to talk to us today on Vedic astrology and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
I think you can talk about everything.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's so many questions.
Yeah. Well, I do love to talk, and my favorite thing to talk about is health. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a similarity to last week's host or guest as well. And I mean, it's what everyone wants, right? Whether it's health in the mind, mm-hmm. as you know, health in the body, health in the emotions, just balance in life and the course of events in your life and how it's working. So who cares if you're, you know, as healthy as can be on the inside, but your life on the outside is falling apart. So it all comes together.
And as I said earlier, this cup is filled with lemon lavender herb tea.
Right.
Not Diet Coke.
But I have to say, I love your energy. You feel so balanced to me.
Ah, thank you.
You really do. Like, just this calm, chill Zen Buddha. Like, so I'm not surprised you're in this field at all. Like,
well,
I can
thank
sense
you.
It.
Yeah. Thank you. Ayurveda really is how I came into Vedic astrology, which I believe is our focus today. And I, you know, would love to just dive into that. But Ayurveda is how I found my way into Vedic astrology. And Ayurveda is what brought me the depth of meditation that I have and the beginning of working on a deeper level with my physical body and what my needs were at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started with Ayurveda. And then I just needed to help other people. And it was just like one thing after another. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, spiritual counseling and working with the chakras and, you know, then simultaneously doing the emergency department, which was 10 years of my 11 years of experience. And I still dabble there a little bit here and there after having my 2 kids. But I just can't do all of it with the 2 kids.
Right.
I haven't found a way to create more time in each day.
Yeah, exactly.
You give us that answer.
But I have found some balance amongst it all.
So did your interest in Ayurveda predate your nursing interest, or did they come about simultaneously?
So, no, that's a great question. So the first thing that came about, I like to think of my work personally as being sort of, you know, 3 arms. There's the physical health, there's the, the Western model of health through the emergency department and nursing and medical sciences. And then there's the Eastern, which is the Ayurveda, the Vedic astrology. And then there's the spiritual, which is meditation and connection through the chakras and even some intuitive healing, energy work. Mm-hmm. It's all a part of health, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that came about really was after I chose not to go to medical school, because I actually was about to apply and all of that, but I loved the body, loved the sciences, but I just had this gut instinct that I was supposed to do something more holistic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my parents loved when I said, oh, by the way, I decided not to send my applications.
Right. Money in the bank.
Yeah. But anyways, so the next thing I did was go the opposite direction, and I started studying Reiki and practicing Reiki and learning about the chakras, and it was all just hobby stuff. So cool. But I needed to have a profession, so I went back to school for nursing. Started in labor and delivery, loved labor and delivery, mm-hmm. but because I have such a holistic way of working with women, I needed to be in an area. I needed to do that outside of the hospital at the time, mm-hmm. To do what I wanted with the women. So I went to the emergency department, which was such an incredible just experience and education on life of, you know, mm-hmm. we see 3 days old to 103 years old and every economic status. Wow. I mean, it's, you know, everything, life and death all the time. So it was such a great experience. Simultaneously, I was doing my Ayurveda practice. Mm-hmm. So I became a nurse first, but finished my Ayurveda practice initial schooling about a year after my ER experience.
That's a lot.
It was a lot at the time. I was doing a lot to ground myself then. Yeah. I didn't have kids at the time.
Right.
So I was able to keep it together a little bit more. But I have to say, I was like practicing Reiki and starting to do my emergency work. And my first patient that was a critical patient of mine, and I was so nervous because I'm in the ER and the doctors leave and the other nurses leave, and this patient who wasn't breathing is now on life support, and you know, all this is happening, and I'm like worried that I'm gonna mess up somewhere on the monitor or one of the drips, and I'm like, okay, everything is fine, wow, this patient is stable with our help and everything's okay, I can Reiki her. And then I found out all this other information, and it was actually really helpful, and I was able to talk to the family about it, so that was great. But then I took it a step further with Ayurveda, and then that just really became my life.
So when you mean you picked up intuitively on other things, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, through the Reiki, and the Reiki has been the Reiki and the meditation, really. You know, not everyone has to do all of these things, but just because my passion is learning how to heal the body, different people need different things. I've just tried to experience all of it, and so that day with that patient, the experience was actually that we had asked the family if she had a DNR, do not resuscitate, because she was 60 years old, had heart and lung issues, chronic issues, and she came in respiratory failure. Mm-hmm. So the only way she would survive is with like full help, with full life support and all of that. Yeah. So we finally, and they said, no, she doesn't have a DNR. Save her. Mm-hmm. We did. And then I Reiki'd her, and I found out very clearly that she didn't want the Reiki, want to be here. And so I didn't say how I didn't have say anything about having this inclination, but I just asked the family again.
Yeah.
And they then said, you're right. Actually, you know what? She does have a DNR. We're just not ready to let her go.
What? Are you kidding me?
So it was all in like their best intention. They weren't ready to just lose their family member in that moment. Mm-hmm. And they did tell me and the doctor right away. There was no like pressure on them.
Of course.
And but it was in this person's highest interest. Uh-huh. And what ended up happening was they ended up speaking to someone, like some therapy services individual in the hospital, and sometime in the next 24 hours they decided to see how she would do without the you know, life support, and of course she did pass. But I have no doubt that that's what her soul actually wanted, and the family agreed with that. There was of course no pressure. I mean, what was done was done. But it was interesting. So that's kind of how my ER and Reiki experiences came together. And then the Ayurveda was just like, oh my God, let's stay healthy and keep you healthy through Ayurveda, through Vedic sciences, because the planets are so involved, herbs. It's like the physical and the astrological. Right. It's a lot of fun.
So tell our listeners and us, actually, what is the difference between Vedic astrology and our regular old astrology that most of us find those little roly things for 25 cents at the drugstore that tells us,
right, exactly, I remember those.
I think they're probably $1.50 now. Oh yeah, that's me, and then you read the Leo, that's me.
Everything can relate.
So no, that's a great question, and there is a difference. So both are different, complete different systems of astrology. So you can't take one and say, oh, I'm not this in the Vedic system, I'm this, and in the Western system of astrology, I'm this. Which one is right? They're just different interpretations. They utilize the material differently. I don't study the West. I know a little bit about it throughout my work, but what I can speak for is the Vedic. The what is a difference about them? The main difference is that the Vedic uses a chart of the sky on the day that you were born. When we look up a birth chart, we look at the where the planets were in relationship to us, to Earth, at the day of your birth. The Western astrologers use a chart that's about 2,000 years old or so.
Okay.
And so there has actually been a shift because there's a very minor wobble in the Earth. And that minor wobble over thousands of years has actually changed our orientation to space about 23 degrees. The sky is 360 degrees. So 23 degrees compared to 360 is somewhat significant, but not a huge deal. But when you consider that the sky in astrology is divided into 12 sort of pie slices, those are called the houses. Each of those areas of the sky relates to an area of the life, okay, when we're reading a chart. And so, oh, sorry.
And so
if you divide the 360-degree sky into 12 houses, each house has 30 degrees. So suddenly, 23-degree difference
means a lot
in a chart.
Yeah.
So for the most part, 23 out of 30 people, you can say, would have their sun sign be in a different house.
Wow.
So their sign is actually different. But there's so many other variables to consider when you're reading a chart that one difference doesn't necessarily mean everything is different,
right?
So what I the other thing that's different about Western astrology and Vedic astrology is that Vedic astrology focuses a lot on remedies. As far as I know, what the West doesn't do that. And it's great to see your chart so you can understand it and work with it in West or Vedic. But what I like to focus on is the remedies, because if you have this information, like, well, this is the karma that you came in with, these are the challenges you chose to take on in this lifetime, which is what the chart is telling you. Then, and you already know it because, you know, you have a problem in finances or in relationships all the time or whatever it is for you. People tend to have repeated issues in their lives until it slaps them in the faces finally and wakes them up
for sure.
They finally get it. And then they can rise above it. But what if we were given this information earlier, like as a child, and you know the remedies before you even have major issues, or hopefully before you have major issues. So that's what I like to focus on.
Wow.
Yeah, and she did my chart because I was running a special. So I was like, I gotta do this. And it was really fascinating because it really stuck with me, although I lost a lot of it in terms of all the stuff that you shared with me. But was really poignant for me was that there are certain energies that were maybe we have more liabilities in some areas, but there are certain colors and gemstones and all these things that you said that we can use that help to increase the positive energy.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Yeah.
To like balance it out?
To balance it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the way things work, I'm going to put my water down here. I'll give an example. So when you have, so in the Vedic system, and I'm studying specifically the systems approach to Vedic astrology.
Yeah.
You'll also hear it as the Jyotish, which means of the light.
Okay.
So Jyotish, Vedic astrology, they mean the same thing. And it's all from India originally. It's like a Hindu system, but it's really used in the East all together. Great for timing of events. There's the birth chart. There's also the transit, which is what you have for your life.
Okay.
And it really is the karma. You've chose, the planets are indicators of what karma you have come in to work out in this lifetime. And we did choose this.
Yeah.
So our personality didn't choose it because our personality wants everything to be easy and fun. But on a soul level, we need certain challenges because that's what we came in to learn and to conquer and to rise above.
Yeah.
Right? And so all the challenges we did actually choose on one level or another, and we can handle. We all need help. We all need teachers. We all need support in different places. I'm trying to remember. I just lost my train of thought for a second.
The benefits and then the limits.
Right. So what happens?
Say it the way you do.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I'll clarify.
Benefic and malefic. But usually it's beneficial or malicious, yes.
Yeah, so
it's from those the word, yeah.
And benefic. It's just verbiage really, but the
but I love it.
The so the words that I use are benefic planets and malefic planets. So the way it works is when you look at a birth chart, mm-hmm. you have the 12 different houses in the chart.
Okay.
I actually, for anyone who's looking, I have a chart here that we can quickly look at. So this it would be the birth chart. I don't know if it's close enough for people
sure.
to see.
Yeah.
So this is the birth chart that we're looking at. And these are all different houses. And they're red counterclockwise this way. Hmm. And so you have the houses, which indicate different areas of the life.
Okay.
The planets are all placed in different houses for different people. The planets indicate different experiences in the life that we will all have. For instance, moon has to do with mother, has to do with our mind and our emotions, how we perceive things and receive information. Whereas Mars has to do with courage and strength. It's the heart, it's the muscle, the heart being a big muscle. The sun is the actual heart itself. The sun has to do with father. So you can see these are different areas of the life and different parts of the body. So, so then the way that planet operates in that area of the life where it's sitting is dependent on what constellation is sitting in that house. So for instance, if a planet is, and there's so many more variables to consider. There are planets that are exalted in certain signs or debilitated in other signs. It's always well placed when it's in something called its own sign. Mm-hmm. There are aspects, there are Mula Chakona signs. There's so many things, we won't get into all of that right now, but there's many, many variables. You can study this for years and years and years. It is a true science. And so when you look at a chart for the first time in the systems approach to Vedic astrology, you look at the rising sign. And the first thing I look at least, is the benefics and the malefics. And that's because that is where those major struggles. Challenges or eases will be. Mm-hmm. And people really come to astrologers when there's an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
They might just want to learn their chart because it's fun.
Sure, exactly.
But when they're really in need, it's because they have an issue. And all you need to do as an astrologer is look at the chart and you look at the first thing you do. Is we look at the 6th, 8th, and the 12th houses. Those are the houses that are
taking notes.
Considered.
I really am, because I find this fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating if you get into the science of it. Those three houses, the 6th, 8th, and the 12th, are considered inauspicious houses. And those houses, I like to think of them as maybe not as inauspicious, but bringing challenges so that we can rise above and develop our consciousness. And that's why we're all here, right? Is to be healthy and develop our consciousness so we can be truly live in love and peace and health and happiness and have bliss and joy and all those great things that come in and along with it.
And not burn a house down.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the 6th, 8th, and 12th houses, if one of the Mula Chakona signs, which are the constellations, the numbers would be 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 11. So 1 relates to Aries, 4 to Cancer. If any of those numbers fall in these houses, you don't have to remember this whole rule. But if one of those numbers falls in these houses, that makes that the planet that rules that house or that sign a malefic planet.
I feel like you're literally speaking Japanese.
So we'll take it into a more practical example that we can, comprehend a little bit more. But that's how I get to it. And so those malefics become the challengers in that person's life.
That makes sense.
And then I know what areas of the life to focus in. Uh-huh. You also learn that those are the malefic planets. So there's 1, 2, or 3 malefics in every single chart.
Okay.
And from that system. Everyone also, no matter what, no matter how great or strong your chart is, everyone has Ketu and Rahu as a malefic. Mm. And I'll talk about Ketu and Rahu. They are actually nodes of the moon. They're not points in space. They are points in space. They are not planets themselves.
Okay.
They are elusive, hence there is no mass to show. They are elusive in the sky, and they are elusive in our lives. Wow. They can kind of come out and get you when you're least expecting it. They do tend to bring those sort of unexpected catastrophes often. And everyone needs to pacify Ketu and Rahu. And then you find out what your functional malefics are, and then you need to learn how to pacify those. So the number one goal is to pacify, not strengthen, the malefics. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and to strengthen versus pacify all of the others, which are considered the benefics.
And everybody doesn't have the same, like you can have even a similar birthday, but it doesn't mean that your benefics are going to be the same as somebody else with a similar birthday, right?
Absolutely. So every 2 hours of every single day, the yeah. rising sign changes. And so every 2 hours, there'll be a different rising sign. The rising sign is what indicates which planets are the malefics. Once you know your malefics, in a way, if you basically start this before you have major issues in life, hopefully, yeah. then you can actually do the supportive measures. In India, the royalty get their birth charts at birth. The colors, the gemstones, and all of the things that can support the strengthening of the
They're
benefic planets
yeah.
are brought to that child.
Wow.
And then the planets that are malefics are pacified immediately. And it's a continual process. So the way we can strengthen our benefic planets is through color therapy, because that color has the same vibration as that
yeah.
planet, and through gem therapy, which is why actually India has lots of people wearing
yeah.
gemstones. Uh-huh. Sure, it's fashionable in their culture, in many cultures, in our culture as well, but it's more than fashion. It's actually a protection. And I have like examples upon examples of seeing that in
yeah.
my and clients' lives,
and
which is pretty amazing.
Also.
Different crystals. Uh-huh. There's different chants. There's different deities that you can bow to. There's many, many other things that you can do. There are things called yagyas that are pretty amazing to bring a little bit more of a potent change if you need. There is something here called the mystical pendant or kavach.
Yes.
And it's basically a mathematical.
It's a numerical.
Yeah, it's a mathematical yantra. So all of the numbers on there are going to be supportive to her benefic planets. So it's attached to her on her skin all the time, which means that all of that symbolism is connecting her to her benefic planets continuously.
So I'm just going to pause you, because in case you just tuned in, we are talking with Wendy Kawasaki. She is an Ayurvedic and Vedic astrologer. She does private services, and you can basically give your, what do you need, your birthday, the place of birth,
and the time.
And then you can help people basically preemptively protect themselves from challenges, pretty much.
Preemptively and during a challenge. You know, my ER experience, I'm all for the Western treatment when it's medically necessary. So
sure.
if there's an emergency, go to the ER. You know,
right,
get the medical treatment to that you need if it's a chronic life-altering issue, yet also do the astrological and other remedial measures that will support the body, mind, and spirit to develop true health. If you don't have issues, absolutely, this can help to prevent things. I swear this is how I found my husband, actually.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
And I just realized I didn't tell you how to pacify, so we talked about strengthening, but
yeah.
I'll bring that in later. So my husband, whom I love dearly, has been on your show.
Yes.
Yes.
Financial.
He was great. I was telling him. He's a lovely guy.
He does the financial planning, and I do the chakra and astrological and herbal balancing.
But he hears all these things.
He has.
Yeah,
when I showed him mine, he pulled out his. He's got four different things on a chain.
Yeah. He wears his wedding band, actually, on a chain, and because he just gets uncomfortable with the ring, but he wants to wear it. And so he also has a mystical pendant or a kavach that he wears. I actually oftentimes do wear mine, and mine happens to be off of its keychain or of its chain right now. I have to get a new chain for it. But I do wear mine most of the time because I do believe in them. And he wears that, and then he also wears a ring around another second ring, because it helps support Mercury in his chart, which helps our marriage, and so it goes with the ring.
So cool.
And the funny thing is, it ties into how I met him, because I just was, so for me, Rahu, which is where you're going in life, is in my house of partnerships and relationships. So most women want to find a husband anyways, or at least a partner, right? And I definitely was one of those, and the yearning was even, you know, stronger because of the Rahu. And yet it took me 35 years, you know, and there was a lot of catastrophe, I would say, before that. Maybe not all catastrophe. It was just a lot of learning before that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, where is this guy? And so I had already learned meditation and other ways to balance, and that was supporting my higher consciousness, of course. But I actually first started working with David Hawthorne mm-hmm. with Vedic Sciences, and he got me into all of this, and I immediately went out and got the four gemstones that I needed, mm-hmm. right? And so one of them was I couldn't actually afford an emerald, which is yeah. emerald for me supported Mercury. Mercury is a benefic planet for me, okay. wants to give benefic, helpful results.
Okay.
But it was really weak because it was afflicted by many other planets. Mm. So it was like, the way he has always put it, is that it was a good tire on my bus of life, but it was flat.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had several, I had four, that mm-hmm. were like that. But Mercury was especially flat. So I needed to really strengthen it. Mercury in my chart rules my house of partnership.
Okay.
And that's one of the most important things, to know who rules that house that you're mm-hmm. really wanting to fix mm-hmm. and work on. So I had to strengthen Mercury, amongst mm-hmm. other things, but especially Mercury for relationship. I couldn't on my own afford a true good size emerald at the time, which was the highest gemstone that I could get. But I did get a green peridot, which was also highly suggested. And I bought this peridot and I wore it on my mm-hmm. Finger, like, 24 hours a day, of course. I just never took it off. I met him about a month later.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't tell him why I wore it, of course, but I yeah. still didn't take it off. Mm-hmm. And then it was about 40 days into our relationship that we were on a plane back from Tahoe to mm-hmm. LA. And as we landed, we had just had this like amazing connecting time together, and he hadn't planned it, but he had to ask me to marry him.
40 days in.
So he actually took that green peridot, which I bought for a relationship,
yeah,
and it temporarily became my engagement ring.
Oh,
until I got the emerald, oh, which is now my true engagement ring, and he wears that other one around his neck to strengthen Mercury.
That's beautiful.
I love this. What a great story.
So that's my story, but I have many others from clients and friends.
That's what I love. It might be Dharma and Greg. Do you remember that show? It was
that's right.
Yeah, she was like voodoo and like into all that, and he was like a finance. And I love it when you
we all have a secret side to us, don't we?
We do.
We have our yeah. persona, and then we have, you know, our more vulnerable parts that we sometimes don't want to show.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly.
So, what do you do when your partner has different planets and you share a bed?
Yeah, that's
because I'm supposed to have white sheets.
Oh, that's right.
And Christopher is not supposed to have
really?
White. So what do? Split the bed?
Yeah.
Twin beds?
Two
different things in?
No, definitely not that. No, really what you do have to find out are what mutual colors. And you will have some mutual yes. colors together. Mm. And I can't remember off the top of my head do you remember his rising sign?
No, I don't.
Probably
don't.
Have it in
oh,
the
it's
computer.
Okay. It's
but,
okay. Anyway.
But yeah, so that you will have, so there might be a most important color for you, and you can wear that all the, you know, as much as you can.
Right.
You can get that color car or, you know, a blanket that you color, curl up mm-hmm. in often. But then you find sheets that match both of you. So we have some colors too that some are the same and some are not. I mean, we were trying. It's fun to actually design your house around
yes.
this. So my kids' bedrooms are always the color that, and our bedroom has to be wow. painted the colors that will support us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, red is actually a great color. For Danilo, it's one of the least favorable
yeah.
colors for him.
Okay.
And so red cannot be in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. Which I think it'd be a nice bedroom color, but we have a yellow bedroom right now. Actually,
that's so cool because it's yeah. like neutral and
yeah.
wow, this
yellow,
is
white, green. These would all work for us.
Oh my god,
so.
This is so cool.
Christopher just said Aquarius.
Oh, great!
Yeah. Thank
okay.
you, Christopher. You're obviously listening.
I know. I love that. That's great. He's on it.
Okay, so I'm going to show you how we do this. So if you put the Aquarius rising sign here,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. then that would mean that we would go backwards through
okay.
the chart. Thanks, Chris. And we would then put Pisces here, so that's 12. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 here. And so that means, what did I say? Remember this, 4, 6, and 10, right?
Okay.
Is that what I said? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, 4, 6, and 10.
Okay.
So, well, Chacona signs
okay.
are... cover yours. 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 11. So that means 4 and 6 for him would be the rulers of 4 and 6, which are Moon and Mercury. So white and green are the colors associated with those planets.
Wait, then white's good for him, because white's good for me.
No, it's no, white
not
good. So white would be supportive to the moon.
Uh-huh.
Moon is not rules good Cancer. Four is Cancer. And because moon rules Cancer and sits in an inauspicious house, then it makes it a malefic.
Oh.
So,
sorry. Yes.
Amazing.
Once you're fired from my life, Chris.
So then for him, mm-hmm. wearing white and green, wearing a pearl, if he chose to wear gemstones, a pearl
would
or an emerald would not be supportive. It would actually cause more distress in the life. And more conflicts and hazards, even health issues. And and then for someone who those are a benefic, I would suggest wearing those.
Right.
You know? So for me, for instance, you know, pearls and emeralds are actually great. I have a friend who won't give up her emerald and diamond because she loves them so much. And they're the only two gemstones that I told her she should not wear.
Oh, my God.
And she had just bought these things, and I just really want and it's showing up in her life. And I really hope she turns it around. I know. I'm like, take it off. And so I'm hoping that that will help. I will give another example I had of how we can use Vedic astrology in our life. I have another good friend who's living in Paris and with her husband, and they're now two kids. One of the two children came in with an unexpected heart condition. And so she ended up staying in the hospital for, I think, you know, several weeks in ICU. And it was, you know, for a newborn, it's just I mean, if your baby has a fever in the first month, you freak out, right? So it's just heartbreaking and really challenging. She just started the baby is now home. And, you know, is expected to recover well. And actually, this should go away in time. But it was not fun. And the baby is on heart medication daily. So it's very real. And so she did something called a yagya. And a yagya is where you have these pundits or other highly enlightened souls that do this service, kind of like a monk's service or something. Okay. And they do this service called a yagya.
It's like a chant.
And it's chanting, exactly. Yeah. And so these...
Not in front of you, though.
This not is, in front of you.
Oh,
they are
in front of you.
Different people will do it in different parts of the world. The ones I suggested to her are in India. And there are probably many, many different ones in India. I have a certain service that I generally go through. They're wonderful. And so she has five pundits chanting for 6 hours a day, particular chants for 9 days.
Oh my God.
So, you know, this particular service costs $265. There's a lot of varieties out there. So there's so many different things depending on what your needs are.
Yeah.
And so that is happening. So I checked in with her today because it just started yesterday.
Yeah.
And she said that of course her baby's doing well. So that was good, and she has been doing better. But she said it was the deepest sleep she's had. She went to bed at the time that the yagya started in India, which is around 4 in the morning India time. So, you know, she figured out what it was. She's in Paris, and she slept the entire 6 hours, which is the longest she's slept since she was born.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not a coincidence, right? And so, of course, if nothing else... And there is more, but sleep alone will help her heal and recover. But something is happening. So, you know, lots of yagya experiences. So
whole new wish list for the holidays, right?
It's amazing.
For presents, right? Yes. I mean, we always think about, what do you want for, you know, your birthday or whatever. Yagyas.
Yeah, I know. Kavaches and yagyas.
Readings with
Wendy, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Sometimes I do give this information to people just because I want to, you know, help them. I see that they need it, but they don't all know and understand it because they maybe aren't at that consciousness to receive it. And once you are the consciousness to receive it, then you do it. You're like, oh my God, I see these changes.
Yeah.
And it's not like this magic potion that's just going to magically change things. It works through raising your consciousness.
Right.
And then by raising your consciousness, you're giving back to humanity in a whole new way, and everything gets better. So it's really just a way to speed up your experience
your
of higher consciousness,
flow.
Your karmic flow.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's great. It's
amazing.
What
I really love about when you do a reading for somebody, which you did for me, is that you do really break it down into very practical things. Like, yes, put these colors on.
Right.
Get these colors.
Right.
If you can afford them, get these stones. Do something. And you made a point, too, to say it has to be connected to your actual body. So if
skin.
You have a stone that is separated by something else, it's not going
to
be as valuable as if it's
like to your
situated on you.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't want these fancy settings, right?
Right. You want the setting. If it's in a ring, for instance, you want there to be a hole between the setting of the metal that the ring is sitting in and the skin. And ideally, if there's a point on that gemstone, for the point to be pointed directly into the skin or touching the skin.
So your ring, is it doing, is, like, that's acceptable?
So, well, this one
yeah.
has the emerald directly close to the skin. These are very small.
Okay.
The wedding band itself, it's still touching.
Yeah.
It's a lot smaller.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a huge stone, so it all takes effect. But if you want to make a potent difference in the life, you do want a reasonable shaped stone. You want it to be a symmetrical shaped stone, a clear stone without... You know, if you hold the stone in your hand, I tell people, and it just doesn't feel right, then just let it go and get a different one.
Right.
You know, there's some different companies that I work with. So you can find a stone on your own. Mm. There's others that I send people to that have Vedic stones, basically meaning that their clarity is the purest. It's straight from the earth. It hasn't been worn by other people.
Right. That's nice.
Things like that. So you want to make sure the energy is clear.
Since everybody cannot afford precious gemstones, I think part of what your message is, which is really important, is there are some very simplistic and inexpensive things that you can do, like purchasing different colors in undergarments.
Yes.
Right? Oh,
yes.
And
choosing this, like, I think the sheets and the color of your room, I think that's a big one, because everyone who has a bed has sheets,
of course,
hopefully, and paints their room some color.
Yeah.
So choose the colors that you're going to be sleeping in. Sleeping is such a big time of our life. It's 8 hours, well, you
hopefully
8 hours, right. 5, 8, whatever hours a day, but you're sleeping and a lot is happening in your sleep. On the subconscious level. And so sleep in sheets or in a room that's going to be supportive to you.
Right.
And then learn, the biggest thing is, it seems simple. It is simple. That's what's great about it. But learn your benefics and learn your malefics. Mm-hmm. And once you know those, then you know which colors are good, which colors are going to be cause more challenges. And I tell people who aren't sure about that and they think the colors can't make a difference to just try it.
Right.
Like I used to wear all blue all the time because I thought it was so pretty. And I did shift my wardrobe. Do I occasionally wear blue? Yeah, of course.
Sure.
And just like anything, an occasional cookie, fine, whatever. Exactly. Enjoy it. And Ayurveda, we say enjoy what you eat, right?
Yeah,
otherwise, you're digesting the ill, the negative.
Yes, toxic energy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But know what you should tend towards. And things shifted for me when I stopped wearing as much blue and have shifted for many of others. Some people don't mind the changes. Some
I'll
people
flip
do.
You for it.
Exactly. Sorry.
No, all good. You go.
Oh, it's because another very easy and inexpensive thing, what about essential oils? Are there any scents or things that go better with
so the essential oils would be more closely linked to they're linked to the planets because they come from a plant that would have the same resonance as a planet. So there are actually essential oils, there are body oils that are different herbalized oils, and so they might be aromatic or to be applied on your skin or even used in your food and or used, you know, in any different way in your life, really. And there are Ayurvedic treatments that use them even, you know, over your third eye. The Shiradhara is pretty amazing, the Abhyanga. So the plants are also connected to the planets. Really, Vedic astrology is so cool because even if you just start to learn about it, you get a little basic information, it's connecting you to this higher consciousness. We think these planets are actually just these like masses out there in the sky, and they are related to us, and all you have to do is practice it a little bit to feel a difference, and then you know that we are connected. And then suddenly, just like if you were in a big forest with massive trees, you would feel sort of insignificant and in awe of nature and how big life is.
Yeah.
Same thing, you do that with the planets now, and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. I am a part of this incredible world.
Right.
How are we connected? And it actually gives you a bit of a high.
Now your turn.
Okay, so it's interesting. You talked about the shift that happened, and I'm dying to know kind of what you experienced, or if you don't want to talk about your own personal experience, what other people have experienced once they made these changes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, things generally start to just shift in the life, usually more subtly. If you do something big like a yagya, which is a lot more energy all at once, it can move things quicker. So when people do have a major issue, such as, you know, a hospitalization or something like that, then I do suggest the yagyas, or an issue in your life that you're really trying to shift, you know, a pattern you can't get over.
Okay.
Or just a habit, patterns, you know you're not supposed to eat sweets all the time and you mm-hmm. can't get yourself out of it. There are many ways to approach it, but you actually could look in your Vedic birth chart. Yeah. Or why do I have insomnia no matter what I do? There might be something else to it. It might be a physical issue.
I got my
issue.
CBD. I'm going to try it.
There you go. We got to talk about that.
So anyways, but the shifts may be big, maybe small, but over time, if you look back over some months, let's say since you started doing gemstone or color therapy or chants or aromas, things like that, then you will see things coming to you more easily that are supportive to you. That's what it is. So, you know, examples, you know, for me, the example I gave was my husband literally showed up in front of me, right?
That was crazy.
But other things that will happen, the right job will come about, or a relationship, it might fizzle away because it wasn't actually supportive. And that's always an interesting one because you think, oh, wow, this could be the end of something, but it's actually going to bring you closer to what is good for you.
That makes sense.
I see that one a lot. And oftentimes people come back to me like, oh, my God, what happened? Right. I just broke up with my boyfriend or my business partner. It's like horrendous now. I don't know how to deal with him. And then all of a sudden a month later, it's like, wow, now I have the best life ever because this new person is in my life or I am so important in my life or our business is going better because we communicate in a different way. So things like that can happen. School can improve. Finances can improve.
You're supposed to give your firstborn away.
Friends may be calling you more often. It really depends. Any area of the life depends on what you're working on in the chart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I know.
We're getting close. I mean, we have a couple more minutes, but... Yeah. What have we not covered? Like, I know you've got chakras, you've got all sorts of
planets, houses.
First of all, I mean, I've said it already. Find out your benefics. Find out your malefics. Okay. Something that we all can do. Every single person has Ketu and Rahu, which are the nodes of the moon again. They all have them as a malefic. The Ketu and Rahu are here to bring us to higher consciousness through suffering. It's the way it works. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, the things that you can do and everyone can do to pacify that influence, it sounds subtle and it is subtle, but you will see the effects over time. So for Ketu, you want to, it's a spiritual thing, actually. You want to feed the birds. So we can all start feeding the birds.
I love this.
Yeah, feed the birds in the morning. It will help everyone. Okay. You can offer them water if you like, but at least feed the birds. Okay. And then basically helping those that cannot help themselves. Mm-hmm. So you're serving or helping in some way the poor and the needy.
Okay.
This is for Ketu and Rahu.
Yeah.
For you're serving the poor, the needy, the elderly, the sick, anyone who cannot help themselves. And for Ketu, it also includes anyone working for spiritualism. It's not a religious thing. It's someone working for higher consciousness and the good of the planet.
And I take this is not for financial gain.
No,
right?
This is not for financial gain.
Yes. Right.
This is service.
We don't qualify. In other words,
as therapy
or social services and things, when you're getting paid, then it doesn't qualify. I just want to make that point because that's important.
Yeah. That's a very important point. Thank you. And it's truly just to help those that cannot help themselves.
Sure.
And you can serve. If you want to write a check, you can. You can write a $5 check. You can write a $5 million check. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's not supposed to break your bank or break your back. It's what's comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. But it does not need to be financial at all. It can be offering some of your food to someone on the street after a meal or making a meal for someone. Mm-hmm. It can be some of your time, like walking a dog at the animal shelter, going to an elderly home and sitting over a game of checkers with them as company.
Yeah.
Babysitting Kelly's children.
Please.
There you go.
No, but
might be a little different.
No, but I get it.
But anyways, can't help herself. I'm kidding.
Exactly. And it's funny.
I love your kids, by the way.
I know.
And I would love yours if I got to meet them.
I love my kids, too. And so anyways, these are simple things, and it does seem oversimple, too simple for some people, but these are things that all of us can be doing, and it will support our chart.
I love
it. But that's what makes this stuff really tangible.
Yes,
exactly.
And then really, to bring it even more tangible, the last thing I'll say is that the energetic stuff is one thing, and you see the effects over time in your life. You absolutely, hands down, will. Mm-hmm. But then you don't realize that the planets are actually operating through the signs in the houses, and that directly affects our chakras. Mm-hmm. Our chakras are not in the complete physical, but they're the next sort of step out of the physical. The chakras are what create the hormones in our glandular system. Wow. The hormones are what create everything in the body. So if your seventh chakra is off and your pineal gland is off, well, you're going to be kind of wacky.
Yeah,
and same thing for any glandular system. If your pancreas is off, you're going to have diabetes or some other issue, you know? And so it actually does affect the physical, and you can work on the physical then through Ayurvedic means, herbal means, Western means.
Wow.
So it's fun.
Awesome. So where can people find you? Are you willing to offer any sort of promotion in case somebody wants to contact you and maybe if they say our show name?
Absolutely, sure. So you can contact me through my website. It's probably the easiest, which is First Light Ayurveda.
It's a beautiful website, by the way.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
I do generally, you know, work. I do a lot of women's services, but the astrology is for all, just so you know. And so I'll spell it out. It's FIRST, First Light, LIGHT, Ayurveda, AYURVEDA.com. And you can reach me through email at firstlightayurveda@gmail.com. And yeah, I'd be happy to offer, let's say, like 20% off for anyone who mentions this show.
And you do Skype sessions. Like, they don't have to be local.
Okay. It does not have to be local for really anything other than an in-person body session, because I offer a variety of things.
Sure.
But certainly the Vedic astrology can be anywhere. Yeah. It can be in person, and it can be by FaceTime. It can be by email. It can be by voice recording.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So
we were talking with
amazing.
Wendy Kawasaki, wonderful, super intelligent, bright, great energy. We loved having you.
Thank you so much.
So next week, did I write it down?
Yes.
Did I do good
Dr.
this time?
Robert Leahy, who we had on before.
Yes.
Was he The Worry?
The Worry Cure, one
the
of
worry
my favorite
cure.
Books.
Yes. But this time on jealousy.
Jealousy. Ooh, which would be fascinating. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And are we done? Yes. Okay. Next time I'll share. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.